Luke chapter 23. We're going to begin a series, even though we're still preaching messages on the cross, we're going to do a series on the seven sayings of Christ. I'll probably do it in 6 weeks. Seven sayings of Christ. And the very first thing that Jesus spoke that's recorded for us in the Bible is found in Luke chapter 23. And I guess maybe the subject should not surprise us, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed that our Savior, the first thing that he uttered after being nailed to the cross and hoisted up there, was a prayer to the Father over this matter of forgiveness. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Luke chapter 23, if you'll look in verse number 33, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Just two verses, Luke 23, verse 33 and 34. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Heavenly Father, thank you for this subject. Thank you for the special music. Lord, thank you for all that you do in our hearts every single Sunday. And Lord, as we turn and look at the scriptures, and Lord, as we cast our eyes towards Calvary, I pray, Lord, that we would now also, Lord, lean in and listen. Lord, there's so many things that we can learn by what you said from the cross. And so I pray, Lord, as we begin this today, we cover this great, wonderful, remarkable, amazing doctrine of forgiveness, Lord, that you'll use it in each of our hearts. Lord, may we all understand that we need to be forgiven. And then also, may we all understand there's times we will need to forgive. And Lord, thank you for the great example of our Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Before I get into what he said here, I want to remind you that Jesus spoke much on the subject of forgiveness during his earthly ministry. If you will do a word search on forgive, forgiving, forgiveness, you'll find it pop up several times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, always spoken by our Savior. Matter of fact, if you'll mark your place in Luke 23, let's go visit a couple of those places, because I think it'll help set the groundwork for what we're about to hear. In Matthew chapter number 9, let's go there first of all, Matthew chapter number 9, Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray. In Matthew chapter number 6, I don't know what I said, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. We see this, when he was asked to teach them to pray, he said, after this manner thereof, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Notice verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But then he adds this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And isn't it interesting that when Jesus was asked to teach the disciples to pray, I think he said this, there's certain ingredients that probably ought to be in every prayer. And I thought, what a great thing if we would just decide that we're not ever going to bow our head and pray without addressing the matter of forgiveness. Well, that would keep it fresh in our hearts. You know, think about that, just to be able to keep a short account with the Lord, to be able to just say in every prayer, Lord, I know I've failed you. And Lord, I know I haven't lived up to everything I should be today. Please forgive me, not only for maybe something I did that I shouldn't have done, but maybe forgive me for something that I didn't do that I should do. And folks, if we are kept in constant reminding over the fact that we need to be forgiven. So what's the first thing we learn by listening to Jesus on this subject? Hey, every one of us need to be forgiven. Every one of us need to ask for forgiveness. And the Bible, boy, tells us, aren't we blessed that God is willing to forgive us? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that promise. You say, preacher, I've messed up so many times, God's tired of hearing about it. We're going to get to that when we talk on down here in just a bit. But no, there's no limit to God's forgiveness. Hey, good news, there's no limit to God's forgiveness. And he said, listen, when you pray, just get in the habit of every time you pray, then you go ahead and ask the Lord for forgiveness. I promise you, probably between the last place you prayed and this time you prayed, there's something that you need to be forgiven for. And that keeps us humble before the Lord. And then he also reminds us this. He says, you know what? You want me to forgive you, and I'm willing to. But you know what? If you want me to forgive you and then you refuse to forgive someone else, he said, that's not right. And you can't expect to be forgiven if you're withholding forgiveness. Isn't that what it says right there? Well, let's reinforce that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18 and listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 18. Just some things the Lord taught, Jesus taught on the subject of forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, if you look in verse number 21, Peter is always one to come with an interesting question. Amen. And so Matthew 18, verse 21, he says this. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Now, I can make fun of Peter, but I'll be honest with you. I've been that exasperated a few times in my life. Okay, Lord, give me a number, okay? Because this person's driving me crazy, all right? And I've forgiven him and forgiven him and forgiven him and forgiven him. Come on, seven is the perfect number. I mean, after that, can I just say, nope, you're not forgiven. Go take a hike. Live with that guilt, you sorry sinner, you know. That's my... Sorry, I probably should not be so transparent that I can relate so well to Peter, but yeah, I kind of can, okay? And then here's Jesus' answer. Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, likened unto a certain king. And he's going to go on to give a parable, and we're going to read it. But Jesus gave this answer. And you know what, folks? I'll be honest. I was kind of rooting for Peter to get a better answer there. And you know, I do get frustrated. Come on, help me to know that I'm not by myself, okay? And sometimes I feel like, you know, how many times we've gone down this road? How many times? Come on. And I get it, but give me a break. And then all of a sudden, the voice of the Holy Spirit begins to say, I don't know. How many times have you come to me? Have you passed the seven mark? I said, Lord, I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about this dirty, rotten sinner over here, you know. And the Lord's saying, I want to talk about this dirty, rotten sinner. Hey, you know what? That helps put it in perspective. Preacher, 70 times 7 seems ridiculous. Well, I imagine you've probably gone to the Lord or should have. Come on now. More than that in your life. I know I've gone to the Lord more than that in my life. And you know what? He says, not only will I forgive you, but next time you mess up, you just come on back. You just come on back. And then there's this incredible parable, and it's good for all of us to hear it. Verse 22, then saith Jesus to him, I say not unto thee seven until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Watch out. Look at verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. By the way, which is a whole lot less than 10,000 talents, okay? And 100 pence. And then he laid... And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Sounds like the same prayer, doesn't it? Same request. Does he get the same answer, the same reaction? Think about that. And then he says this, verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that he had done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Boy, isn't that a good teaching for us this morning? The Lord even finds the loophole. He says, from your heart. You know, you can say it with your mouth and not mean it in your heart, you know. From your heart, you forgive as you have been forgiven. Jesus taught much on the subject of forgiveness. How about Mark chapter number 11? Let's flip over there real quick. Next book, Mark chapter number 11. We see Jesus address this once again. We're laying the groundwork. You know what? Folks, listen to me. Jesus didn't preach one thing and then live something else. And we're going to see what he preached for a few minutes, but you know what? Then we're going to see it wonderfully displayed for us on Calvary's cross. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. Here it is. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall receive them. Wait a minute, folks. You say, wow, that sounds like a magic wand. That sounds like a secret formula. I can go to God and get anything. Let me tell you what I believe stands in the way of that a lot of times. Look, keep reading. We're not done yet. And when you stand praying, what? Forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Boy, that sounds like it's a big deal, doesn't it? And the Lord said, hey, you know what? You have all this available to you. And you know what? You have all these promises. And if you just have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could see the miraculous. Then, preacher, why don't we see more of it? Oh, could it be? Come on, look right up here. Could it be that too many of us are harboring in our hearts some level of unforgiveness, holding back forgiveness for someone that has wronged? But, preacher, you don't know what they said. Yeah, I know. You don't know what they did. Okay, all right. We're about to go to Calvary. You might want to reserve that just a bit before we get to Calvary, because, folks, listen to me. It wasn't Roman soldiers that crucified Jesus. It wasn't the howling Jews, and it wasn't Pontius Pilate. Let me tell you what put Jesus on that cross. It was my sins, and it was your sins. Okay, has anybody crucified you lately? Have they taken a crown of thorns and beat them into your skull? Have they taken a cat of nine tails and tied you to a post and whipped you? Have they spit in your face and buffeted you? If Jesus can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what? Maybe we should be generous when it comes to this matter of forgiveness. I'll read Luke 6:37 to you. One verse. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Luke 17, verse 3 and 4, take heed to yourselves. If any brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Watch this. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You know why? Because God does the same for us. That's why. Now, let's go back to the cross, all right? Let's go back to Luke chapter 23. I want to just break this down very simply, okay? Now we come to the cross. Should not surprise us that the first of the sayings of Christ involves the subject of forgiveness. I mean, isn't that why he came? Isn't that why he's there? I want to break it down into three parts. Number one, notice who he addressed, who Christ addressed. Number two, notice what he requested. And number three, notice why he asked it, why he asked it. Who was it that Christ addressed? Well, in Luke 23, verse 34, then said Jesus, what's the next word? Father, Father. Christ's prayer was to God the Father. Let's be reminded for a minute of the sweet and eternal relationship that God the Son and God the Father has enjoyed for all eternity past up to this point. Think about that. Jesus says some things in Matthew 11, 27. He says some things concerning him and the relationship he has with the Father. He says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He said this, you know, y'all might think you know me and you all might think you know God, but nobody knows God like I do. And you know what? Nobody knows me like God does. This was a sweet and precious, unblemished relationship. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. I love that sweet statement. Did you hear what it said? He said, the only begotten Son, comma, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. There's no way to describe with human vocabulary the sweetness of the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. John 3:35, we read this, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. In chapter 10, verse 30, I love this. Jesus said it very simply, I and my Father are one. We're inseparable. We've never been separated. Jesus said this of his Father, I do always those things that please him. And the Father said of the Son, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now think about this. This is a sweet and eternal relationship, one that's founded in both love and holiness, in oneness and agreement. There's never been a moment in all of eternity past that the Father's been separated from the Son or the Son has been separated from the Father, and yet Christ is about to become the thing that they hate the most. For the first time ever, the Father's about to turn his back on the Son. The Father's about to pour out from heaven all of the punishment for all of the sins for all of the world, and that punishment is going to be directed upon his Son. You say, why? Because the Son has agreed to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. There's two great characteristics about the Father that I want to remind you of, folks, and we ought to be glad for both of these things, you know. Number one, God is holy. God is holy. Let me say also, God is love. We ought to be just as grateful for one as the other, folks. Listen to me. If you believe in the holiness of God but doubt his love, then you don't have a proper perspective of God. And if you are sold out concerning the love of God, but you're holding back on embracing the holiness of God, you know what? Then you don't have the right perspective of God. And I want to say this. Aren't you glad that God hates sin but loves the sinner? He hates sin but loves the sinner. Listen, don't go soft on sin. God's never gone soft on sin. When he demanded it to be paid for, it had to be paid in full to satisfy his holiness. But it was his great love that allowed his Son to be put on that cross. And you got to remember, we're going to say this, folks. You got to remember just a minute what the Lord, the Father, has been watching for the last 24 hours before he hears this prayer. We'll be reminded that in just a second. So first of all, let's be reminded, take notice of who Christ addressed. It was God the Father, the Holy Spirit. Holy creator of the universe. Next, what did Christ request of the Father? This is it in two words. Father, what? Forgive them. Think about that. Say it with me. Forgive them. Say it again. Forgive them. Now think for a moment what God the Father's watched in the past 24 hours. You know what? I think the Father so loved the Son so loved the Father. I think Jesus, listen, I'm not going to try to get between this. I'm not going to try to psychoanalyze somebody whose ways are so far above my ways and thoughts are so far above my thoughts, but there's a part of me that just wonders, this strong relationship, this sweet relationship, that the first words needed to be addressed to the Father and the first words that he needed to hear from his Son was, remember, we're about forgiving. Remember, this whole thing is to bring forgiveness. Think about what God the Father has watched us, mankind, do to his Son in the past 24 hours. Before this prayer, he watched, God the Father watched them lie about his Son, watched them falsely accuse his Son. By the way, God hates lying. God hates false accusation. They've watched him, he watched them mock his Son. He watched them buffet his Son, abuse his Son, demand the death of his Son. He watched his Son tied to a whipping post and scourged with a cat of nine tails. He's watched them humiliate his Son, torment his Son, place a crown of thorns upon his head, beat those thorns into his brow with a reed. God the Father watched men spit in the face of God the Son. Maybe that's why Jesus needed to say, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. He watched it all. He watched them place a crown of thorns and beat those thorns into the brow with a reed and stand him up in front of all Jerusalem and mock him as an imposter king. The Father then has had to listen to the crowds chant for his death, crucify him, crucify him. Can you imagine that? Imagine God the Father's up in heaven tolerating that. Think about that. He loved us, folks. How can you doubt his love? He'd watched them choose to release a murderer in order to have a chance to murder his only begotten son. The Father's watched them lead him out of the city, march him along with two malefactors. He doesn't belong with that crowd. Nail him to a cross. Again, mock him. Again, humiliate him. He's watched him stripped naked and then watched Roman soldiers gamble at the foot of the cross over the clothes that they took off his back. And what does his son pray to him? Father, forgive them. You say, preacher, but they haven't repented yet. They haven't repented. Yeah, I understand that. I think the prayer could be summarized as this. Father, make sure that forgiveness is available even to these. Listen, folks, he was praying for forgiveness. You say, well, then, if he prayed it, then he got it answered. Okay, then they're all saved. Is that how it works? Okay, folks, listen to me. Remember the first thing I took us back to the Lord's Prayer and taught us? The first thing Jesus taught when he taught about forgiveness is this. We need to ask for forgiveness, okay? But I believe Jesus Christ just wanted to remind the Father, no matter how heinous, no matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, please, please, if they ever come to the point of repentance, please forgive them. Think about that. They have not asked for forgiveness. They show no signs of remorse. They have done what they have done with zeal and fervor and vindictiveness and self-righteous pride. And yet the prayer prayed by the Son is one for forgiveness. Man, that astounds me. Forgive them. Forgive them. That prayer was not just for those involved in the crucifixion, folks, that day. I want to remind you once again, that prayer was for me and that prayer was for you. You know why? Because it wasn't just them that put Jesus on the cross. It was my sins and it was your sins. And it was the sins of all of mankind. And so think about that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm happy to let you know that forgiveness is available to all of us because of what Jesus did and because of what Jesus prayed while hanging on the cross that day. Oh, preacher, you don't know my list. I don't need to know your list. You don't need to know anybody else's list. But preacher, I've fallen so short and failed so many times. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, folks, listen, I want to say this again. I am happy to let you know that forgiveness is available to all because of what Jesus did and because of what Jesus prayed while hanging on that cross. We've seen who Jesus prayed to and we've seen what he prayed. Notice last of all why he requested what he requested. And I think then this is something that we can all learn, okay? Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. And then here's the reasoning. This is why he requested what he requested, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. Let's make sure that forgiveness is always available in our hearts. Again, I want to say this because I think it's important when you teach on the matter of forgiveness to understand the process from which forgiveness must flow. Folks, listen, forgiveness is not just about getting things right. Forgiveness is about reconciliation. And a lot of times I hear preachers say, you know what, you ought to forgive them. 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 And you know what? Nobody's repented and nobody's asked for forgiveness. I can tell you I've studied the subject of forgiveness from Genesis to Revelation. I can say this. You know what, folks? It is important that we understand that it is our responsibility to ask for forgiveness. And if we do ask for forgiveness, we should not expect to receive forgiveness. And a lot of times people try to find the one exception to the rule here. They'll say, well, Jesus on the cross forgave them and they hadn't asked for forgiveness. He also gave a reason why he forgave them. Now listen, just because Jesus died on the cross, and this is good we say this, and was buried and rose again the third day and prayed that God be willing to forgive us does not mean that when he prayed this prayer, the whole world was saved and everybody's going to heaven. That would go against everything else the Bible teaches us about salvation. So we've got to interpret it in light of all Scripture, not just one Scripture. And I want to just say this, okay? I'm kind of tired of preachers getting up and preaching messages, putting people on a guilt trip for not forgiving someone who's never asked for it. Let me say this. You can't forgive somebody until they've asked for it. How does God work? How does He work the relationship between me and you? Okay, I sin. I don't have to go to Him. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just too. But wait a minute. You can't leave out that first phrase. You say, well, good, I've got a reason to hold a grudge because they've never asked forgiveness. No, that's not what this is talking about. Listen, folks, I may not be able to forgive somebody until they ask for forgiveness. What I have to make sure is that forgiveness is ready in my heart to be given. And we can say that about God. Forgiveness is always available and it's always ready and it's always given for the asking. Am I right? All right, then listen to me. I can't forgive somebody, but I can always be ready to forgive somebody. I'm not going to hold bitterness. Listen, if you're not careful, you're going to destroy yourself. Okay, you hold bitterness, you hold a grudge, you hold hatred in your heart. That's as much of sin. Come on, that's just as much of sin as what they did. And so, you know what, I may go to the Lord and I may say, Lord, if they ever come to you, please forgive them for this. And Lord, if they ever come to me, I'm going to make sure forgiveness is available. But folks, listen to me, the transaction cannot. So many people want to say, well, I'm just forgiving them. Yep, I'll tell you what you haven't done. You haven't restored the relationship. Because the relationship cannot be restored until the person seeks forgiveness and that forgiveness is given. And then the relationship is right. Although I may in my heart say forgiveness is available, they still need to forgive. They still need to ask for forgiveness. Now listen, the entire Bible teaches that we can't go to the cross and unteach it. And so if He said, Father, forgive them, He gave us a reason. That's why you read all of it. Come on. Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. I think there's two times when you got to make sure that you forgive people. Number one, when they come to you and ask for forgiveness, don't withhold it. Don't withhold it. Amen. Well, I don't know how sincere they were. Well, you know what the Bible doesn't say. You know, get your little, you got a little machine here, your Geiger counter, repentance meter, and you turn it on and you try to gauge how repentant they are and you're going to give forgiveness in accord. You can't judge anybody's heart. But if somebody asks for forgiveness, well, I'll tell you, they asked for forgiveness and they turned around and did it again. How many times? Seven? Was it all in one day? Right. Isn't it amazing how Jesus kind of takes all that from us? He says, listen to me. If they come and they ask for forgiveness, you just forgive them. You just forgive them. Don't worry about whether they're sincere or not. You do your part. You just forgive them. Preacher, what if they don't come? Then you make sure that you have forgiveness ready and available, and don't you hold a grudge, and don't you be bitter, and watch this, don't do that, don't do it, because now you're hurting you. So you know what, I can't forgive somebody until they've asked for it, but you know what, I can certainly make sure that the minute they do, it's ready and available for them, because you know what, that's how God does with me. Now think about this, so is there another time that you should forgive? Yep, we should forgive, number one, when the offender seeks our forgiveness. Number two, we should forgive automatically when the offender is ignorant of his offense. When the offender is ignorant of his offense. You know how many Christians are holding a grudge against somebody, don't even know they offended them? You know, I've had people come up to me and say crazy things and it was offensive. But I'm sorry, they didn't realize they were offending me. And sometimes I just got to say that southern phrase, well, bless their heart, bless their heart. Amen, come on. Learn that from Miss Rachel, well, bless their heart. You know, you can say anything about anybody as long as you say afterwards, bless their heart. You know? And sometimes, come on, this is King James Holy Bible right here. Sometimes you just walk away and people are like, and you know what? They came up and said the stupidest thing, the dumbest thing, and they smiled, and they thought they were doing good, and they walk around, and they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what's going on in your life. They don't have a clue what they said, how offensive that was or how hurtful that was. And you know what, folks? If they don't know, why are you going to hold a grudge against them? Look right up here. You've never offended somebody and not meant to. We've all done that. Let's switch shoes. Okay, let's switch places. If I've offended somebody in this church and I didn't know it, first of all, come tell me. I'd be interested so I know how to do it again. No, I'm kidding. No, that's bad preaching. See, this is why I got to ask for forgiveness so much. No, but, you know, first of all, can I ask all of us a question? Are we just walking around looking to be offended? We got a chip on our shoulder. We wear our emotions on our sleeves. I mean, folks, listen to me. Some of you are bitter against everybody, and honestly, it's not anything anybody's done. It's just you're easily offended. Shame on you. Come on now. You know what? Don't be easily offended. If somebody says something to me, I'm just assuming, well, they didn't understand. They didn't know. God bless them. God bless them. Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. They have no idea what's going on in my life. Bless their hearts. You know, and just go on. Just forgive them. Listen, folks, sometimes you're going to offend somebody and not even know it. Okay? And I mean this. If I've ever done that, I would love somebody to come to me and just say, Pastor, you know, you said something once and you had no idea maybe, or maybe you did, but this hurt me. And I would want to make that right immediately. But you understand, I can't make it right if I don't know. And so you're going to carry something in your heart against somebody that did something that they don't even know they did, and you're not going to forgive them till they ask. But how are they going to ask? Are you getting this? If they don't know they did it. And most times, come on, folks, even in an attempt to be helpful, sometimes we're harmful. In an attempt to try to say the right thing, we might say the wrong thing. But could you just give everybody in life the benefit of the doubt a little bit? And if not, to give them a, well, bless their heart and move on. Move on. You know what? People, for the most part, I mean this, people, for the most part, I mean, I'm talking special born-again Christians. You know, they might not always get it right, but it's not because they're not trying. And I just think I want to extend the same amount of grace to everybody that the Lord has so abundantly showered upon me. And you know what? Just love people and understand all of us are trying. None of us is going to get everything right. So when do I forgive? Watch this. I forgive when the offender comes and asks for forgiveness. I forgive when somebody has done something and I discern that they do not even understood what they did, then it's very easy for me to forgive them. And by the way, even the offender that hasn't yet come to me, forgiveness ought to always be available. And if it's not, then I'm not being Christ-like. Okay, let's all look up here and I'm done. Folks, this area touches everybody in this room. I promise you, from a teenager to a fifth and sixth grader that's in here, there is nobody in this room that probably in the course of me teaching this, the Lord didn't bring back to mind or memory, come on, something that you've either done or something that someone's done to you. And you know what, folks? Forgiveness is such a wonderful, beautiful, healthy thing for the Christian. Just keep forgiveness available. If somebody's offended you and they haven't made it right yet, just love them anyway. Okay? Just love them anyway. And treat them good. And you know what? The goodness of God often leads men to repentance. And you know, don't let it hurt you. Don't let it eat at you. Don't let it destroy you. Just have the same spirit Jesus did. Hey, Lord, make forgiveness available to them. And then, you know what? If there's something that the Holy Spirit has kind of said, you know what? You didn't treat that person right and you didn't say the right thing. And you know what? You could have handled that situation better. And you know what? Don't be so proud that you can't go to somebody and say, you know what? I need to ask for your forgiveness. And sometimes people say, what for? What are you even talking about? Well, let me remind you. Are you kidding? I didn't think a thing about that. Yeah, but I think about it. But I think about it. It's such a wonderful thing to keep our relationships clean and right. Somebody sent me a text this week, and I haven't heard from this kid. He used to be in our school, and we've had so many people in our school, you don't have a clue, okay? But I mean 18, 20 years ago, probably over 20 years ago was in our school. And a really nice kid, really nice kid. I think so much of this kid. And he's gone on to live his life in a way that's pleasing the Lord, married a good girl, in church, just doing right. But you know what? He just sent a text and just said, Pastor Jerry, I'm just kind of doing inventory in my life. And I'm kind of sending this to a number of people. And I just want you to know that if I've ever done anything to offend you or to hurt you, or I just want you to know I want it right. And I can't think of a thing this kid's done other than be a knucklehead. I mean, all of them are knuckleheads. I can't think of a thing. I mean, I taught him in our Christian school and, you know, good relationship. And I don't have this anything floating in the back of my mind. Well, I'll tell you one thing. And I'm reading this going, this is the last person I really expected to receive this from. So you know what I did? I said, brother, man, my heart's clean and pure towards you, and I'm so proud. We don't talk ever, but I keep up a little bit through people, and, you know, he's doing well. And yet, are you getting that? He was so wanting to make sure he was clean and right before God. Because did we read? How can I be right here if I'm not right here? I mean, Jesus literally said, as you're standing there praying, if you think of something, then you stop your prayer, son. You go get that taken care of, and you come back, and we'll talk. Okay? If it's that important, I thought, you know what? I don't know this kid. I don't know what all that God's doing in his life, but I thought to myself, that young man right there is going to go to a whole different plane. There's something going on in his heart where he wants to make sure he's so clean before the Lord that I don't know what he's involved in. I don't know what ministry he's doing. I don't even know what church he attends. But I know this. God's hand's going to go on that boy. You know why? Because he's putting out just in case. And boy, God stirred my heart. You know what Jesus prayed, first prayer? Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. You let the Holy Spirit speak to you now, please. There's a time in every message, every service, where the preacher's voice needs to quiet and the voice of the Holy Spirit needs to deal with us. Hey, let's keep things right. Let's do things the right way. Let's stay clean before the Lord. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can tell you this. Jesus died on that cross to pay for your sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. So he not only paid for your sins by shedding his blood, but he secured for you the gift of eternal life by defeating death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. There's never been a person that's come realizing they're a sinner, putting their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus and him alone for salvation. There's never been anyone that's done that Jesus has turned away. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, Brother Brian's sitting up here at the front. And during as soon as the invitation starts, if you'll simply head up to him and say, I need to be saved. I'd like someone to take the Bible and show me how to be saved. We can get that done today. Christians, this is such an important subject. All of us have to make sure that we're in a good place in our hearts when it comes to this matter of forgiveness. Whether we need to be forgiven or whether we need to forgive someone else, make sure that you're in a good, proper, biblical, Christ-like position in your life. Heavenly Father, bless the invitation. Use this time to help us, we pray in Jesus' name.